it's not manipulation, it's not coercion, it's not shame, it's not anything. It's all based on love. So, Father, whether it be a few cents or whether it be thousands of dollars, it's the heart of love by which we give. Bless this offering in Jesus' name. And would you all agree with me by saying yes and amen? Yes and amen. Ushers, if you will. Thank you, guys. I am on. Hey, also some real important things. Miss Nancy Layton, she's got her women's brunch coming up December 3rd, I believe. Is that right, Nancy? So everyone wave to Nancy. Nancy, yay, Nancy, that's coming up. 22nd, it's a Tuesday night. We're going to be having a joint Thanksgiving service with Hope Chapel, 6:30 to 7:30. Our worship team's going to be leading that. It's just an hour of worship and Thanksgiving. So it's going to be great. And also, as we open up our Bibles, Brett and Susie Stedman are dear friends of mine. And I would ask that you just pray for them and Abundant Life Church this week as we are praying for a church every week. In Jesus' name. The last thing we need to do before we open up the Word is we need to thank our veterans and their families. So if you are a veteran or you have a family member who has served or is currently serving, I would ask that you would please stand. If you are served. Would you remain standing for a moment? Father, there are very few words that can fully express our gratitude. And Lord, there's ways in which you can honor and bless folks for their service to our country. And Lord, for those who stand, they represent literally millions of folks who have served over the history of our world and of our country. And Lord, in Jesus' name, we bless our veterans. We bless their families. We bless them in Jesus' name. And Father, I pray even beyond this day, whenever we see someone who served our country, that we, Father, would go out of our way to pause and to thank them for service. So today, Lord, we thank you for each one here today, and we thank you for the multiplied thousands across our valley and then across our country. We bless them today in Jesus' name. Would you say a hearty yes and amen?
Yes,
yes and amen. Thank you all. Thank you all so much. So we have been launching from John 17, where Jesus' prayer, his final prayer before going to the cross, was that we would be one as he and the Father are one. A year ago last month, we had worship practice before service starts like we normally do. I had a guitar in my left hand, I had this microphone in my right hand, and I was talking to someone over here, and realizing that men are not very good multitaskers, I walked down the steps, I was talking to someone, and I missed the last step. I heard a pop, and if you ever remember when Ali and Frazier would fight, and Ali punched out Frazier, down goes Frazier, down goes Richardson, man, I was down. My ankles began to swell, and what the plan was for us to do worship, have a potluck afterwards. Instead, Deb was driving me to the emergency room, and my ankle was that big, and the doctor put an x-ray, and there was bone chips, and, you know, for months afterwards, my body realized that one small part of this big body was in a lot of pain. It was just a small fraction of my body. In fact, really, you don't ever see this part of my body because usually there's a sock, a shoe, or a pant leg covering it. But that one part of the body that was so small was in tremendous pain. And for months afterwards, the most simple activities became extremely difficult. Getting in and out of bed was really difficult. Going up, coming to the dinner table, trying to carry a plate. Thankfully, I've got a really good wife who would say, go sit down, I'll bring your plate to you, because I'm on crutches, trying to walk. Getting in and out of a shower on one foot is really difficult. as you hop in and out. My life, very easy, normally easy things became extremely difficult. Why? Because one part of my body was in pain. One part of my body had been injured. And when Jesus talks to us about being one, Paul takes up that theme and he uses it with this illustration called the body. Something that we can all grasp, something that we see every day, either it be in the mirror or interacting with people. Paul has this beautiful illustration for us, this metaphor in which he shows us what it means to be like one, to be in unity, how to live authentically together. And as you read through the New Testament, you read the New Testament writings are not just theology, it's not just doctrine, but it's practical application to teach us how we honestly and authentically can walk in unity as the body of Christ. It's a very wonderful, beautiful examples, practical examples, and Paul uses the whole book of 1 Corinthians to show them how to walk in unity, because for the first time in the history of the world, Jews and Gentiles are intermixing. Because Jews, usually when they would go into a community, they would find a segment or a place of that community, they would build a synagogue, and they would all just kind of live together in that community. And so though they were a part of a bigger community, they isolated themselves as much as possible into just being Jews. Now, God throws Gentiles and Jews together, and they are having some real problems. Now, I don't mean to be facetious with this. I don't mean to be insensitive to this. It would be like Democrats and Republicans trying to get together in our world today. We are having an illustration right before our eyes. I am not saying one is right and one is wrong. This is not a political statement. It is just the reality. We see the clash that's taking place of ideologies, of political understandings. Well, guys, that's very much like what the church was in Corinth. We're really not that much different, even though we're thousands of years later. People are people. And so Paul writes them letters to show them how to, as we as the body of Christ, how to walk in unity and how to walk in love. And so in chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians, he is talking primarily about the gifts of the Spirit. For this church was operating tremendously in gifts of wisdom and knowledge and tongues and interpretation of tongues and faith, and some beautiful things were happening. But even inside the operation of the gifts of the Spirit, there was competition. There was comparison. And it could very much sound like this. Well, you don't speak in tongues. Well, I speak in tongues. What's wrong with you? I am more spiritual than you are. I have healed 3 people today. How many people have you healed? There was this competition going on in the church. And Paul says, hold on a sec. Let me even go further in what unity looks like. So with that, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. And look at the brilliance of Paul's teaching us about unity. Verse 12. The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts, and though all of its parts are many, they form one body. Here we go. If you were to describe a human body, what would you describe? Well, it needs a couple arms, it needs a couple legs, it needs some fingers, some toes, it needs some eyes, some ears, a nose, it needs a mouth. That when you look at the human body, it's not just one piece. It is made up of multiple pieces that are necessary to make up one body. So even though I am one person, I am not just one piece of the body. I am multiple pieces that create a human body. Now we get that inside this. But Paul is now saying, now that's the same way with Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ came into the earth, he came in a body, in a human body, just like ours. And now, metaphorically, he is creating not just a physical body, but he's creating a spiritual body made up of individual people who understand that they are needed and necessary in value to create a picture of Jesus as we come together in unity. He goes on to say, so it is with Christ, verse 13. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews, Greeks, slave, free, Asian, African American, Native American, Hispanic, white, male, female, old, young, middle-aged, single, married. These are not the definitions of where unity comes from. We are not defined in unity by our gender, by our color, by our race, by our socioeconomic background. That is not what brings us into unity. Republican, Democrat, Libertarian, Independent, we have put labels on ourselves as the body of Christ, or let me say it this way, we can, that are not biblical labels. Wow, you guys love me? Well, kinda, maybe. Let me throw out what else you're gonna say, and I'll let you know. And we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Baptism indicates salvation. One Spirit to drink speaks of the fullness. That you and I, dear ones, what is going to unite us together is that we've got one baptism in the Holy Spirit, we've got one Father who loves us, and we've got one man who saved us. It's all about the Trinity. It's all about Holy Spirit. It's all about Jesus. This is what unites us. This is what brings us together. Each of us coming together, and in Paul's days, it was Jews and Gentiles who had major culture clash. Jews and Gentiles who lived so differently. See, the Jews could not understand a Gentile's lifestyle. I cannot understand what it would have been like to be raised an Asian boy. I have no idea what it would be like to be raised in an African American home. I have no idea what it would be like to be raised in uber poverty or uber wealth. I have no clue. I cannot relate to those people who they can just pull out a credit card at the age of 12 and say, got it, because my daddy's very, very rich. That wasn't my history. My history, I don't know what it's like to be raised in a divorced home. I don't know what it's like to be raised in these scenarios. I was raised in a Christian home with a mom and dad and two older brothers, and my life was pretty good. So for me to be able to walk in unity with someone who comes from a different background, I believe we're wasting our time trying to fully just understand their background. But understand, if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, we do have something in common. It's the Holy Spirit. And this is my opinion, we cannot build unity on color of skin, same education, same culture, same history or place in life. We build unity on the person of the Holy Spirit. Now, but here's the other part. We don't just stop there. And Paul didn't stop there. Verse 14, he says this. Now, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? Now, Paul doesn't stop saying here that we are part of the body of Christ, but there's no Jew, there's no Gentile, there's no free, there's no slave. He doesn't stop there. He goes to the next level. We are different. We are people that come from different backgrounds. We all have a different history. We all come from different points and perspectives. We all do that. And Paul says, instead of fighting over that, we need to celebrate our diversity. I was waiting for about 15 more people to say amen to that one. We need to enjoy the diversity. In Las Vegas, we were the International Church of Las Vegas, and I had African-American brothers, I had Asian brothers, I had people from Mexico, I had people from South America, I had all these people in our lives. The Hawaiians, they're U.S., but their native culture was so much different than mine, and instead of trying everyone to become homogenized into one way of thinking, we celebrated the great diversity there is in the body of Christ, because we are all necessary to complete the body of Christ. Now imagine if you wake up one night and you are listening to voices, and what you hear is a foot saying to your hand, I am not a hand, so I am not part of the body. You would freak out if you heard your body talking to itself. But Paul metaphorically is speaking about this. Where we get into trouble is when we begin to compare each other with each other. That when we begin to say, because I am not, I have no value. And in my many, 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 many years of church experience, this has been a huge problem in the body of Christ, where we say, because I am not Billy Graham, then I guess I have nothing to offer. Because I can't sing like this person over here. Because I'm not a brilliant business mind like somebody over here. And we begin to compare, and we begin to say, as what the foot says to the hand, because I am not. And what God tries to tell us is this: it's not what you are not, it's what you are. I discovered so quickly the importance of an ankle. Didn't take me long. I don't think a lot about my ankles, but when it popped, I gave a lot of attention to an ankle. And dear ones, God, when we begin to compare each other with each other, because I am not a hand, I am not part of the body. Because I am not an eye, I am not part of the body. Listen, because you say I am not this, it doesn't mean you're not part of the body. Let me illustrate it this way. Oh, yeah. There could be anything in there. Presto Chango? No, not that good. Oh, yeah. What I have here, how many know what this is? Lego building blocks. How many's jealous right now? Okay, there's more. There's a whole bag full. Now, I get this illustration is a little bit different because we are not inanimate plastic objects, okay? We are human beings who get to make choices. But I think if Paul had Legos, he would have used them. Notice, and there's more. Notice that this right here is a four connector piece to Legos, right? This right here is an eight connector piece. I've also got a two connector piece, and I've also got one connector, okay? So Paul, as he's talking about the body of Christ, if the eight connector piece or the four connector piece said, because I am not an eight connector piece, I therefore am not part of the Lego building block system, it would not cease being a part of the Lego building block system just because it says I'm not an eight connector. Okay? So what happens here, if the four connector says the eight connector, I am not you, so I don't belong. What happens in the hands of the Creator If the four connector says, I don't belong to the body, in the hands of the Creator, what I could potentially build is now removed from the equation, even though it's still part of the Lego building block system. If it doesn't understand its value as a four, even though it's not an eight, if it doesn't recognize its need as a four, if it says, because I'm not this, now in the hands of the Creator, I am now limited to what I can create because I don't have all the pieces working together. And Paul says this, God has arranged each piece, each part of the body, just as he wills. That God himself saw the value of who you are and says, I need an elbow. And he created you, he saved you, you were baptized into one spirit, filled with one spirit, and because he knows you are so needed and so necessary to complete this picture that we would be one as the Father and Son are one. You are so important, so necessary, that even though you are not an eight, you are a four. Well, man, I'm not a four, I'm only a two. Beautiful. God needed a two, so he created a two. And it's you. Woo. I think that's kind of cool. Sorry, I'm trying to rhyme. Or a one. Now listen, later on, Paul says, if the eye should say to the hand, I don't need you, the Creator has now just lost a very important part of the Lego building set because one part of the body says to another part of the body, you're not necessary. When our kids were young, they used to wake up in the morning with googers in their eyes. Do you guys know what googers are? Googers are that little crusty, salty thing that you wake up in the morning and you kind of that, okay? Now imagine if the eye says, I don't need you to the hand, and you wake up with googers in your eyes. Do you know how valuable a hand is to get rid of googers? The eye needs the hand. And yet, in the body of Christ, if we throw parts of the body of Christ away, saying, I don't need you, it doesn't stop being a part of the body of Christ. It doesn't stop being a part of what God has done. And listen to me carefully. I have met people in my 30 years of ministry that say, I will not go to church. It's a bunch of hypocrites. I'm just going to love Jesus. He and I were okay, but I'm not going to go to church because that church is a bunch of hypocrites. So are you. Well, how can you say that? Until you and I love Jesus and love each other the same way Jesus loves us, until we have done that, we are all hypocrites. The command of Jesus is that we love each other the same way he has loved us. If we are not living that out perfectly, we are all hypocrites. We all are. And that's why, dear ones, even if I say, well, I'm not going to go to church because they're a bunch of hypocrites, it doesn't keep you from being a part of the body of Christ. It doesn't stop you from being part of Jesus. What the problem is, if we separate each other from each other, now what the Creator wants to build, okay, that's out, okay, and they're not getting along. And this person over here, well, they just had a big fight on Facebook. And this people over here, they don't like that color of a person. Yeah, and this person, they don't like Asians. Okay, and this person over here, they kind of connect they kind of have coffee and read the Bible, but really, and what he's got left is, okay, now how is that going to look like Jesus? How is the world going to know that my Father sent me to and believe that the Father sent me? And how is the world going to know that I love them the same way I love my Son? Well, I guess we can. prayer of Jesus is that we would be one so that the world would believe that the Father sent Jesus. And the prayer of Jesus was that we would love each other and be in unity so that the world will know that the Father loves us to the same degree, in the same manner as he loves his Son. So, dear ones, our relationship with each other is not about us only. It's about a world seeing the reality of Jesus by the way in which we love and interact with each other. That the world would see Jesus and the world would say, I believe God loves this people in the same way he loves his Son. I don't care what color of skin you are. I don't care what your political beliefs are. I don't care if you think Jesus is pre, post, or mid. I don't care when you think Jesus is coming back. I don't care. What I care about is, how can we learn to love each other in such a way that the Father can use fallible, broken people to build something in our lives and in this community that shows the world that Jesus Christ is real. And when we start trying to build unity on things other than the Holy Spirit and loving each other, historically, it's never worked. Because without the love of Jesus, we go selfish. Paul even said to Romans, here was another church that was having some struggles, Jews and Gentiles living together. Paul said to Romans, some of you think you celebrate God on one day, some on another day. Listen, if on that day that's when you celebrate, do this. But if that's important to you, make it important to you, but keep it to yourself. Because God doesn't want a homogenized group of people who all think alike, talk alike, act alike, everything, we're just robotic. He is wanting a diversity group of people who learn how to love each other in their diversity, recognizing there is a hand over there and there's a foot over there. And by the way, Paul is not encouraging us to take a test to find out what body part we are. Because we do that a lot. What spiritual gift do you have? What? Okay, great. What body part am I? Am I a finger? Or am I a nose? I don't know what I am. Listen, love people and let God determine what you are. The point is not to find out, are you an earlobe or a kidney? That's not the job here. Paul is trying to say, you are valuable, you are needed, you are necessary. And because you're not so-and-so, or because so-and-so is not like you, we can't throw each other away. Because we're limited in the hands of the Creator, the picture of Jesus he's wanting to build in the body of Christ. Paul goes on, verse 24, and I'm done. He says, but God, say, but God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. There's no self-seeking in the body. Colossians chapter 1, verse 18 says that Christ is the head of the church, the body. And dear ones, what I've discovered, that I cannot force you and you cannot force me to surrender our hearts and surrender our lives to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. If I were to say to you, I feel like I want to applaud what God is doing today, and I say, hands clap, and the left hand goes, I'm in, and the right hand says, I'm out, then I go. It takes submission of all the body parts from the head to complete what the body needs to do. Christ is the head. Christ is the leader. Christ is the Lord. You aren't, I'm not. He is. My opinion, your opinion does not matter. His does. And for the body of Christ to walk in unity, it is as we understand what He is saying and we submit to that, so that when the head says, I want to clap, the hands go, I'm all in. It's your call. Our job is to submit to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, and as we do that, there is this beautiful symmetry, this beautiful unity that begins to happen as the body of Christ understands it doesn't matter if you're a finger or a toe. It doesn't matter. You're part of the body. Celebrate that. It doesn't, you're in. Now, what are we going to do? We're going to learn how to submit to Him who is the head, and whatever He wants us to do, that's what we're going to do, because He is King, He is Lord, and as the body of Christ, we surrender to Him. And if the body says, I'm not going to do what the Lord says, it is as foolish as a part of the body rebelling against what you want it to do. I think I'm going to pick up that water bottle, and the hands go, no. What do we call that? We call that someone has been broken in their body. When someone can't reach down and pick up in their hand, that person's broken. And the body of Christ, listen, body of Christ, it's not only us, it's throughout this valley, it's throughout this world. The body of Christ submits to the Lordship of Jesus. We can do such beautiful things together. Even if our physical bodies are broken, it doesn't matter. It's the submission to the Lordship of Christ, and He can build whatever He wants to build in this community, in this world, because we all have come to this one agreement. He is Lord, it's His way, and we're going to submit that way. And when we don't, we come back to, Father, forgive me, I went kind of selfish there. My hand went crazy. And it slapped a brother. My tongue went a little bit out, and it went, you are stupid. The body doesn't do that. Let me read one more thing, and I'll be done. Eugene Peterson wrote these words in his book, A Long Obedience in the Same Direction. He says, whether we like it or not, the moment we confess Jesus as our Lord and Savior, that is, from the time we become a Christian, we are at the same time a member of the Christian church, the body of Christ. It is part of the fabric of redemption, for God never makes private, secret salvation deals with people. His relationship with us are personal, true, intimate, yes, private, no. We are a family in Christ. When we become Christians, we are among brothers and sisters in faith. No Christian is an only child. So you can say, I don't like Christians. I think they're a bunch of, it doesn't matter. God says, you are in my family. I don't want to be in a family. The only thing you can get out is stepping out of being in a relationship with Jesus. That's not a good call. The issue is not, are you a part of the body of Christ? The issue is, what are we going to do about it? And Jesus shows us, Paul shows us, Colossians shows us, Ephesians shows us, Corinthians shows us, 1 John shows us, Hebrews shows us, 1 Peter shows us, on and on and on. I don't know what it looks like to walk in unity. It is so crammed full in the Bible that shows us how to walk in unity, that the only reason we don't know how is we're refusing to look. It's all right there. And it begins with love one another. Mike, I can't do that. Exactly. Apart from me, Jesus said, you can do nothing. So if you and I are having trouble loving people, that is not a people issue. That is a head issue. That is going back to who Jesus Christ is. That's going back into relationship with Him. That is going back to, Lord, I don't like this person. They are my brother. They are my sister. I don't like them, but I am not going to hammer them on Facebook. I'm going to go to prayer in Jesus saying, God, I need you to work in my heart so that when I see this person, I love them in the same way you love me. And we haven't even got to this part yet. We haven't even got there yet. When Jesus says, an enemy comes into your life, here's how I want you to respond to them. Love your enemies and speak well of those who persecute you. That's not a suggestion. That is a command. And dear ones, from the depth of my heart, we got to get on this train. We have got to get on this train. Our country needs to see a unified church, not over politics, not over color, not over anything external. It's under the lordship of Jesus Christ, baptized into one spirit, filled with one spirit. It's all about the Trinity that becomes our priority. And if someone thinks different, you're my brother, you're my sister. Okay, I can disagree with you, but I'm not going to hammer you. It would be like I take a sledgehammer and say to my finger, I don't like you. Bam! Ha ha! Taught you a lesson. Wow! If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now, you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. I take these steps so very carefully now. I really do. My ankle, to this day, still is not where it's supposed to be, and it happened over a year ago. I exercise it, I walk on it, but I have reminders of one moment when my body felt the pain of not functioning correctly. And dear ones, as the body of Christ, I feel like I need to say it this way. I urge you, on the authority of Scripture, we are commanded to love each other in a culture that is so divisive right now. And we're not going to come together as a country because we all agree. The church needs to lead the way on what unity looks like because of love. Inside your bulletin, there is a connect card. I had one at one time. I don't know what I did with it. Inside your bulletin, how many's got a bulletin? Inside your bulletin, there's this little card. And you say, Mike, I need to be done. I think, me personally, you and I were made to connect. The first time that God says that something wasn't good was when Adam was alone. He created the heavens and the earth, it was good. He separated, it was good. He created the light from the darkness, it was good. He created the fish and the fowl and the birds and the air and all that stuff, and it was good. And then he comes to this part, there was no suitable helper for Adam, and it wasn't good. God created within us the need to connect. I love connecting with people. I love it, man. I make phone calls all the time. I text people, and I'm an 8-connector person. You say, Mike, I'm not an 8-connector person. I'm more private. I'm a 2-connector person, or maybe even a 1-connector person. I'm kind of private. I don't like connecting with a lot of people. Well, instead of saying you're not this, celebrate you're this. Celebrate that God made you as you are, right? And don't say, well, because I'm not an 8-connector person, I can't connect with folks. No, celebrate who God made you. And on there, on that card, I put down the number of people you actually connect with. Family members, church folk, co-workers, neighbors. I want you, if you would, begin to fill in names of people on those cards and see really how many people you connect with. Now, some you're going to connect in a much deeper level. I connect in a deeper level with my wife than I do my neighbor. But there are connecting points. Here's the point. You and I, as the body of Christ, are so needed in connection. We were created to connect. We were created by God to be these beautiful connecting points. And when we actually do what he says, a beautiful picture, a portrait of Jesus is taking place. Well, where do I start? Who do you already have connections with? Who are you already in relationship with? Who's your best friend? Who is the person that you in your family that you just really love? Stay connected, because one person has never been God's plan for one person to connect with everyone. It's we as the body of Christ connect with each other. There would not be one issue left unloved when everybody in the body of Christ will connect. How many say yeah to that? Doesn't matter how many connecting points you have. It's just that you connect. So this morning, I'm done. I'm taking my Legos and I'm going home. And you can't have them. With all my heart, I believe this is what the Father's doing right now in His church. With so much division across our world, with so many voices saying, I have this and I want that, and the Father's going, not my bride, my bride, they're coming together. My bride, they're going to show the world what Jesus looks like by the way they love each other. And we got some blue ones over here, and we got a green one, we got a yellow one, we got a red one, we got all these different colors. This one's got wheels. But the cool thing is, they're all connected. And Jesus is going to have a bride, and Jesus is going to have a body, and Jesus is going to have a church that the world's going to say, man, that's Jesus right there, because they see our lives. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we're having it played out right now. Right before our eyes. We are in this world, but we are not of this world. We are in this country that we love, but our values are not of what our country values. Because what our country values changes, but you don't. And Lord, I pray for each one within the sound of my voice, myself included. That you would teach us what love requires of us. And that, Lord Jesus, we would be the answer to your prayer. That we would be one as you are. You have given us Holy Spirit. You are not telling us to do this by ourselves. Because selfishness is our go-to, our first lean without you. Self-seeking, self-gratification, self-desire, it's our first go-to without you. It is only through you that we live with others thinking. Others first. And that's what Paul said. Consider others better than yourselves. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. And Jesus, at times, that is really, really hard. But I believe this ties into what Paul was talking about, where he had to die daily to self, to wants, desires, that he might submit himself first to the lordship of Jesus Christ. And Lord, in Jesus' name, I believe with all my heart, inside this room and even beyond, there are many building blocks you're working in and through to unite the body of Christ, not by doctrine, not by styles, not by certain beliefs, but through love. I pray in Jesus' name right now, there would be a deep conviction in all of our hearts. Jesus, in your name. The message of the church is a message of love. I pray we never stray from the focus of the message you have given us. And that in the name of Jesus Christ, let us be one as you are one with the Father, that the world may believe that you sent your Son, and that the world may know that you love us in the same measure you love Jesus. In Jesus' name. With your eyes closed and head bowed, and I have no agenda here, but just what I feel leading of the presence of Jesus, that maybe this morning you need to repent, and hold the kids for just a second. You maybe need to repent that if you've been taking a sledgehammer to another part of the body of Christ, thinking I'm going to prove you wrong, all we're doing is hurting ourselves. You and I have rights to opinions. We have rights to whatever we want to have rights to. But when we hurt each other, we have just violated the greatest commandment. And I don't care. It doesn't matter anymore what our opinion is when we violate what our head tells us to do in loving each other. And this morning in your heart, if Holy Spirit is bringing something into your mind, repent. Say, I'm sorry. And that might need to be toward a person, or if you just kept it in your heart, it might just need to be to the Father. We are family. We are the body of Christ right now. Every person is valuable. Every person is needed. And every person has to choose to submit to Him who is the head of the body and of the church. So in Jesus' name, would you stand with me? Father, I have seen many things spoken and on behalf of the body of Christ, and we as the body of Christ, forgive us. Forgive us when we have not focused on what you called us to focus on. I have heard words said that should not be spoken to each other in public debate. And it's more than just our opinions. We have a higher calling. I'm not an American Christian. I'm a Christian American. My first call is to Jesus Christ. No matter what country I live in, my first call, our first call, is to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And Lord, whether they be written, whether they be spoken, whatever avenue it comes through, Jesus, forgive us if we have said or have spoken anything outside of love. Forgive us, Lord, if in the passion of the moment we have communicated things that are not your heart. Forgive us, Lord, and let us be one. Jesus, thank you that there's unity and diversity. Thank you that we are to celebrate different colors, different backgrounds, different ideas, different thoughts, but always under the banner of love. And Jesus, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would unite your body by the power of the Holy Spirit to be one, and that it would not be a fairy tale fantasy, but it is what you desire, you want, you prayed for, and you will accomplish. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Bless somebody, if you would. Bless someone. You can go.